And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, February 25th, 2017. It's Season 11, Episode 7. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook, same way. I would follow those if I were you. If I were you, I would follow our Facebook and our Twitter. Specifically our Facebook, because one day our Twitter's going to say, hey, go find us on Facebook. But I would follow us on both of those, because I've got some ideas.
Ooh.
It involves Loot Crate. And that's as far as I'll go. So
lots and lots.
You should like us on Facebook. I don't necessarily want to make it a Facebook thing, because not everybody uses Facebook.
I don't.
So, exactly. So I don't necessarily want to make it a Facebook thing, but it'd be helpful.
The more ways to follow us.
Yeah. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Remember that, because it'll come in handy, too. Everyone at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Head over to twitch.tv. Type in In-Game Chat in the top of the page there, and you'll be able to find us and watch us live while we broadcast. And you can join the chat room with everybody in there who is chatting away while we broadcast also. Actually, chat room's kind of quiet right now.
Yeah, I know. Two of them.
It's all silent. And it's not telling me. Yeah. AC Wraith and Cavalier UK and Lavos, who's probably not in there, but he's always there. Makes it at least feel like somebody's there watching us. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody.
That seemed like The Shining. You've been here the whole time.
He's always there. He's watching us. Always. Watching over us. Anyway, welcome to the show. Where do we start? It is
video games.
I know. It is the week of the Switch.
Bah.
Brand new console. Plenty of people are excited about it. Because with a brand new console, they're getting a brand new Zelda.
Yeah. Or if you have the older console, you still get a brand new Zelda.
But that's the thing. We're getting a new console, but we're getting a new Zelda. Zelda actually has been...
You can't say that for a while because they haven't... The last new real Zelda game was, Skyward Sword?
Was it Skyward Sword? Was that on, what was that on?
That was on the Wii.
I thought that was Twilight Princess.
Skyward Sword was after that.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Because I don't think the Wii U had they had that Hyrule Warrior.
Right.
Which was just, that's not a Zelda game.
I'd forgotten about Skyward Sword.
Dynasty Warriors with the Zelda skin.
The Wii and the Wii U in 2011. Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
It's not ringing a bell to me. I'd have to look that up. I can say that Link Between Worlds, obviously because
I guess, there was that Link Between Worlds.
Right, because of all the Zelda hype that's going on right now, people are talking about...
30th anniversary.
Yeah, people are talking about their favorites in the series, and Link Between Worlds... It's actually coming up a lot in people's lists of being a really good
game. It is. It was an amazing game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the sequel to Link to the Past.
Which is someone I need to play. So, is that SNES or is that NES?
SNES. That was the SNES Zelda.
That's okay because my little bitty Nintendo system can now play SNES games.
That it can.
And Sega games. It can play N64 games
now.
Your
3DS can play it. I mean, it was released on the 3DS.
Oh, yeah, that's right, with the Virtual Console.
Yeah. Definitely worth it.
I could look into that. I looked at a video this morning about how to add the SNES, Sega... And
Master System or Genesis?
Genesis.
Okay.
Genesis. Master System maybe, but I know Genesis definitely.
Were there really enough Master System games to warrant putting them on something?
I don't know. When you look through the 600
Harrier.
When you look through the 650 games of Nintendo that I put on there,
how many of those?
There's plenty of those where I'm like, how the hell did this get made?
Bible Adventure.
Well, no, not just Bible Adventure.
Games.
Well, there's. There's every kind of baseball game you can think of. There are so many versions of baseball on that system.
8-bit baseball.
Lot of it. There's a lot. There's Bases Loaded. There's RBI Baseball. There's, there was another one. Baseball Stars or something like that. There's a ton of baseball games on there. Yeah.
Yeah, SNK's a baseball title.
Yeah, there's a ton of them on there. It's Tecmo Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's one of the things where it's like there's a ton of games. And then the further you go, it's just like, wow, how? Not necessarily how did this get made. I can get stuff like Rival Adventure. I can get stuff like Mickey's Lost in Letterland or whatever it is. They're all edutainment, educational, you know.
Bayou Billy.
But not Bayou Billy, obviously. So I can get stuff like that. But it's the 25 variations of baseball that you go through. And then there's some really horribly licensed games. There always were horribly licensed
games.
The
Addams Family was terrible.
There's a dude. I saw an article on this past week. There is a guy who has been for the past 3 or 4 years
beat every
playing through
NES
every
game.
NES game.
Yeah,
and I went to his channel. It's
I think
on
it
YouTube.
Took him 4 years to do it or something.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I went to his channel, and the longest one, the game that took him the longest one was a game that I do have on that little system.
Zelda 2?
No.
Oh.
No. It's a piano teaching game.
Oh, jeez.
He had to teach himself how to play a piano.
That's insane.
To finish that game. And so, yeah. That's some dedication. And he went through all of them. I went through a bunch of games that I was curious about, and I watched not the whole thing, because these are like, some of these are quick 8-minute videos, especially on stuff like Donkey Kong Classics. Where he's playing Donkey Kong. He just, the goal of that one is to go through the game, just go through one loop one time.
All right.
On each, so, you know, it takes him no time at all. But then there is stuff like the piano game. There is stuff like the Knight Rider game that's like 8 hours.
The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
That one was always tough for me.
So it was just interesting to watch him play it and to see these, and to see levels that I never got to in a lot of these games. And he did this without any kind of like Game Genie or anything like that. Just went through them, and it's also amazing because he's got a camera there, and his room's really bright when you start, or usually, and then you can see by the end of it, it's like, oh, he's got the lights in the house turned on now because the sun is gone. You know, entire day he has spent in front of this one game and knocking it out. So
on your NES Mini, are you running out of space yet?
No. The theory right now, I don't think anybody knows this for certain, but the theory right now is that there's 300 megabytes of memory on that system, which doesn't sound like very much. But when you're talking about these games that are 8 bits
a piece. They don't take up much space.
They are not take.
Yeah, for a computer, yeah, it would be 300 megabytes sounds small. But when it comes to, like I said, a little bitty... amount of memory like that, yeah, you can pack a lot in there.
Yeah, I've got like 650, 630 games on the system.
Yeah,
and I probably haven't even hit 100 of those megabytes yet. And they're all zipped as well.
So
I don't think I've hit that. The software that allows you to put that stuff on there has improved, and now it will let you add SNES games and a couple of other things. And they're still trying to improve it. They're having problems with some of the N64 titles. But if they can get around that and get that fixed, then they'll have that as well. Neo Geo can be put on there. TurboGrafx-16 can be put on there. Arcade MAME, MAME machines or MAME software. Yeah.
So the only thing I'm thinking about now is the controllers for it, because 2 buttons isn't going to cut it.
There's
Is it USB for the controller?
No, it's not.
It's that weird.
It's the Wii system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what they had for the Nintendo Wii. So if you had a Wii Pro controller or whatever that controller was, it looked like an old SNES controller, it can plug in there. And you can buy those controllers, and then you can buy third-party controllers that also work in it.
I'm wondering if a Brooks converter would work on that.
I have no idea.
Take a Wii setup, put a converter in there, and put whatever USB-based controller you want in there. That's how they do it in the fighting game terms. You know, we have various controllers and converters we got out there. So if there's a way to get it on there, they can put it in there.
Yeah.
The video that I watched of the guy who where I watched originally on how to put all that stuff on there,
I watched another video of his about him adding the SNES games and that sort of thing. And he's got a link in his thing for it's a third-party controller, and it functions. It gives him every kind of function that he would need for whatever game he's putting in there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not N64. I'm not sure. But I know for SNES and Sega that it works. And what's interesting is it comes up as a game, but it's basically like a setting that you can click on, and it's a whole thing of how that emulator works. And there's a thing for controllers. You can completely remap the controller for how you need it to function.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get around a lot of things that way. Yeah. But I have not done that yet. I've sort of sit around and just kind of, I'll let him get it improved a little bit more to where the SNES stuff is a lock.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, you can do the SNES stuff now. There's no game that it won't run with a SNES emulator and everything else. It's got GBA and a couple of other emulators that you can put on there. So it's really, really cool. And I realize that I can go out and just buy a Raspberry Pi and do this thing myself with as much memory as I want to use, you know, and not be limited. There's something very novelty about having it all in a little tiny Nintendo system.
Yeah, something you could put in your pocket, literally.
Essentially. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be traveling much with it, but there's just something about that. Mm-hmm. Playing all the Nintendo games on a really tiny Nintendo system. Mm-hmm. So, and more than likely, Nintendo sees what this is doing, and they're probably going to say, well, time to release that SNES one now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that has 30 Super Nintendo games on it.
That would be really good, because I love the SNES.
Yeah, and I think that they will. I think they'll probably look into doing that. And then, of course, that one will probably find a way to break into it. You know, if Sony was smart, they would do one for the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So.
Anyway,
something I heard for the Switch. Like, I think I was reading that they're getting kind of a little bit of flack for, you know, the cartridge sizes are kind of small for the games, mm-hmm. but the packaging is like normal, you know, size packaging.
It doesn't look like it's normal size packaging. It looks like it's it looks like it's the old PSP packaging is what it looks like.
Hmm. Okay.
You remember PSPs? They were thin. They were not thinner. They weren't as wide.
Yeah. That's way more than what you need.
That's way more than what you need, but, you know, these are games that could fit in the packagings that come with your 3DS, you know, the square boxes, basically. The full-on square boxes, those would work. The thing that I was reading about was that a lot of people who have their preview systems are having problems with, like, the left Joy-Con controller.
Just the left one.
Just the left one is having problems motion tracking.
Oh, okay.
It's having issues with motion tracking. That seems to be across the board. Everybody's got some issue with that when it's doing the motion tracking. Otherwise, people seem to be okay with everything. Again, not really having any interest in the system, I haven't really read much into detail about how people like it. I'm just trying to get an idea of what are the heavy negatives right now? And so far, the big negative is that situation right there. Mm-hmm. I'd really like to read in depth to see if anybody comes away with. Plus, I'm reading a lot of people praising the portability, where, again, we all fall into this area where portability doesn't apply to us.
Yeah.
I can't play this on my way into town, into work, wherever. I don't have that kind of commute that allows for it. So the portability of this thing is like That's a non-starter. It's a non-issue.
It's irrelevant.
Yeah, completely irrelevant to me. I realize as a reviewer, you've got to look at it that way because there are plenty of people who have that situation for them. So how well does this do? I think the 3-hour battery life had been proven to be pretty much on point from what Nintendo had released, mm-hmm. saying that the battery life of the system as a portable is 3 hours. And somebody did that with the brightness turned all the way up and everything else lasted about 3 hours and some odd minutes.
So if you crank that down a little bit, then...
Yeah, you can probably extend the life of it if you do that. Maybe not turning it on and off, that sort of thing. The other thing was charging it.
was it an hour and a half, or was it, I think 2 hours put 50% back onto it. 2 hours got it up to 49%, 2 hours of charging, I think. Mm-hmm. Got it up to 49%. So it may have been an hour and a half. So it may be it gets 3 hours of use and then it needs 3 hours to charge. That might be the that might be the statistic for that.
Still just no interest in it.
No, there's still no interest in it, but, you know, it is a new console, and there's probably a lot of listeners who do have a lot of interest in it.
And that's great if they do. If someone else wants it, then, you know, I hope it sells for them. But
I think a lot of people actually do want this, and I think a lot of people are either, number one, they didn't get in on the pre-orders, but or number two, they sort of look at it like we've said before. They don't see anything that they want with it except for the Zelda game.
And maybe eventually, maybe another title.
Down the road. Yeah. The Mario game, they'll probably jump on, obviously. But the Mario thing isn't until later this year, probably around the holidays, if it makes that date. So,
big if.
Yeah. From what I understand, the Mario Kart game is just a port of the Wii U Mario Kart.
Oh, jeez.
With, like, a bunch of stuff added into it from... I want to say from the game. I don't think there's, like, there doesn't seem to be anything new added to it. It's like it's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I think is what it's called. And it's Mario Kart 8 just as it was on the Wii U, and I think they added maybe Double Dash in there or some other form of Mario Kart into the game itself, but nothing that is, like, completely new for the system. So that doesn't seem to be...
That's kind of sad.
Raising anybody's eyebrows for like, ooh, I'm going to be picking that up.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything else. Obviously, there's games down the line that people are excited for, but and I'm looking at it right now, actually. There's a buy-sell trade thread over on NeoGAF, and people are selling these things off. They're pre-orders from Amazon, and the prices on them are fine. The prices on them that they're asking for are, you know, with tax and everything, are pretty much exactly what you'd be paying. So some people are letting these things go, either probably because they did stuff that I normally would do, which is I'm just going to go ahead and put my pre-order in. I'll cancel it later if I need to, or I'll sell it off, whatever I got to do. So
yeah,
there's they're definitely not looking to make a profit with the prices that they're asking for on those things. They're selling them pretty much at cost plus tax.
I don't know how much profit can be made.
I'm looking up the thing on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
It looks to be just new characters, new tracks, maybe some little tweaking here and there in something called battle mode that they got in there. But other than that,
nothing really stands out, right?
Yeah. New characters, new tracks, basically, and little tweaks in existing modes.
And not much, honestly, from what I understand. So it's just like a direct port. So,
yeah.
Excited because it's a new console, but not excited because none of us are getting it. None of us are going to be out there buying. I'm interested to see, you know, how well it does on release and how, you know, the lines look and everything else. It'll be great. It'll look good for Nintendo.
What, do you think there's going to be lines, per se?
Mm-hmm. I think there will be. I think there will be lines at some places for people. There's somebody already in line to get a Switch. I not here, but somewhere in the United States, there's a YouTuber who is in line. Now, that person's probably just doing it for views on his channel or something like that, but he's in line, and I'm sure there will be other people in line.
I've seen some YouTubers get the Switch early, like, I guess, review copies or something like that. Not review copies.
Somebody did an unboxing of one and showed it turning on and everything else, and they did that. Like, that did that a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week. I think it was either last week or the week before last that they did that. And Nintendo responded and said that was not anything we did.
Oh.
Found out that some store had broken the date early and sent it out. And the people who did, let's see, I've got it here. The people who did it got fired. Nintendo Switch thieves fired after launch units appear online. They lost their job over that. There were consequences for that. You won't go breaking street date.
Yeah. That happened to me before when I was working at Kmart years ago, when it was still in town. We had some early PlayStation equipment in, and someone put it out on the shelf. And I think
some of it sold. Yeah. They had a fine, but management didn't even think anything of it. They just said, whoops, well.
The story on this, and just to clear it all up, Nintendo confirmed a number of Switch units had been stolen. And in one case, they were sold to seemingly unsuspecting consumers.
Hmm. Unsuspecting.
Report, yeah.
Okay.
Seemingly.
Okay.
Reports that the console was in the wild emerged last week when an unboxing video appeared on YouTube. The user claimed to have been sent the console early by an unspecified retailer. However, this was proven to be false, as Nintendo revealed the unit and an unspecified number of its fellows were stolen from a distribution partner and sold illegally. The individuals involved have been identified, terminated from their place of employment, and are under investigation by local law enforcement authorities on criminal charges.
Oh, snap.
Yep. Mm. So,
crime didn't pay.
Yeah. Don't be doing
this
that.
This time.
Yeah. So, yeah, the exciting part of this week, other than the Switch being released, is that we're getting a new Zelda.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are happy that you're getting a new Zelda. A lot of people are looking forward to this new Zelda. It's a complete new direction that Zelda's going in. I have played the ever slightest bit of it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, the vibe I got from it was very Wind Waker.
It looked beautiful.
And I loved me Wind Waker.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Wind Waker. So this is nice to see. It really felt... It felt very Wind Waker-ish, the animation, all of it did. But also need to go back and realize that I have only ever played Wind Waker. This is the only Zelda game I have ever played is Wind Waker.
You didn't even do like Majora's Mask or anything on the... Wow.
I never had an N64.
But you have a 3DS.
Why do you keep going back to a 3DS? Just because I have a 3DS doesn't mean I'm playing it there.
That's how I play Majora's Mask.
That's the thing, is like I never had N64, so I never go back to N64 games.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the virtual console, and it's like, oh, there's N64. Yeah, I never touched that console, so I just move right along, because I want to play the... Oddly enough, I want to go back to the games I remember playing. That's usually what... The virtual console relies on your nostalgia to get the money into you, because they want you to go back. That's why people have bought and rebought Super Mario Brothers over and over and over again, regardless of how many times they played it.
Well, I used the virtual console to get games that I wanted to play when I was younger that I never got a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff in there that like I've never experienced, and I'm like, oh, this is a chance to
experience. I've never
this for
done
the first
that time. Because it's spending money on something that I don't that I'm unfamiliar with. Huh? I don't necessarily like to do that. That's why I use the virtual console to go back to games that I remember, Mighty Bomb Jack, Contra, things like that, where it's like, I remember having a lot of fun with that. I'm gonna buy that because I know that I enjoyed that. When I look at something else, and I've got a bunch of Nintendo games to reference to now to see, like, oh, that was crap. I'm glad I never bought that. I'm glad I never spent money on this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lot of what I did back in the day was rent the games.
But I never had a N64.
Nor did I.
So on the 3DS, when they did Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask, that was the chance for me to first experience those games, and they are amazing. I really liked them. I liked Majora's Mask better than Ocarina.
Lethal Migraine asks, how do you skip an N64? Easily the best Nintendo console.
The controller. I hated that controller. I thought it was the stupidest thing.
I've talked about this before, maybe not with Lethal Migraine watching the show, but I had a period where I was doing a lot of PC gaming.
Yes.
And I wasn't really... I didn't consider myself that up on gaming. Internet wasn't what it is right now. And wasn't what it was back then. I was playing things like a lot of people played, Doom and Wolf 3D, and then I moved into like Seventh Guest and Myst, which of course, you know, struck a chord with me.
Yeah.
And then after Myst and Riven, I stopped. I didn't go back to that. And then I played Nintendo and then Super Nintendo and Sega, and then I stopped. Gaming kept moving, and it's not that I kept playing, I just fell out of the hobby. Basically, I just and it never felt like it was a very big hobby to begin with for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just stopped there for a while, for a very long while, actually. So I missed the PS1. I missed the N64. I missed the Dreamcast, the Saturn.
See,
I wasn't around for any of that. I mean, I was around, yeah, but I just wasn't. They weren't. Nothing was drawing me. I don't know. I didn't have the bug in me.
To me, at that time frame in the N64, I was still in college and I had my computer and PS1.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, where we didn't, well, you know, some people were getting together playing GoldenEye. I was doing Resident Evil or, you know, Quake on my computer. So I that was like, the N64 is actually the one generation of Nintendo that I skipped up until the Wii U and current stuff. But so I missed out on that because I had other things and being a poor college student. So to me, you know, I look back and I tried, you know, a few times, you know, over at friend's house, and I couldn't get over the controller. It looked like someone white Vaseline all over the television.
Whatever that generation of systems were, the N64, the PS1, the Saturn, the even the Dreamcast and stuff, I was not there for it. My interest was not there. I don't know where it was. I don't know what I was doing at the time. I don't know where my whole, I can't remember what was going on at that time that kept my attention, and I don't know what it was, but it wasn't video games. And it didn't return to video games. My experience of playing on a PS1 was going over to a friend's house and playing it on theirs. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was mostly just watching them play. I really didn't care either way.
I would get lost in, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII, or, you know, like, hours of my day just go by on that, or, you know, some of the other stuff.
Yeah, I remember at some point I was sitting downstairs in the other studio doing afternoons,
mm-hmm.
afternoon drive. And, huh?
All right, thank you.
Do what?
It says we're off the air.
Maybe on the streaming app, but we're not off the air on...
It says just static over the radio.
Oh, static.
Yeah.
That I don't know. That I cannot tell you about. And I don't have time to go look at it, so... I'll finish this thought, and then we'll take a break.
Well, yeah,
and
we're a big time.
See what's going on. Yeah. But I don't. I remember being downstairs, and I remember... I remember looking on eBay or something for, I can't remember what it was, but something led me to somebody's Dreamcast collection,
mm-hmm.
and I bought it.
I love the Dreamcast.
And I remember being hooked on the PS2 and the Xbox release. I was there for that. The PS2, the Xbox, and the GameCube. I got all three, and I was okay. there. And for whatever reason, the bug had come back at that point. Mm-hmm. And pretty much stayed with me, and so I skipped a generation. Basically, is the reason that just N64 is just not a thing for me. I skipped an entire generation of gaming, and that was pretty much it. So, anyway, we're gonna take a break, figure out what's going on, and as long as you can hear us, thank you, and we'll see what we can figure out. Thank you so much. We will be back with more in-game chat after this. We've got music now. We are not doing what we did last time ever again. We will never ever do that again.
No.
So you don't have to worry about that with the music selections. All these tracks. One of them is requested by Matt.
Heck yeah.
Who's a big fan of Trump. And no, one of them was a.
I'll just say it. Nope.
One of them was requested by Nate. And so I got both of them in there. But the rest of these come from games that were released in the month of February. So this first one is For Honor. This is called Unleash the Drakkar, which I thought was like a cologne. So I sort of get that. Unleash the Drakkar.
Squirt, 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 squirt. Yeah, that's what they do in the in the store when you walk by the counter.
Unleash. Anyway, we'll be back with more in-game chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from, what is this, RJ?
Neo.
That is correct.
I like it.
This is the main menu music for Neo. How you doing with that, by the way?
Just got to, let's see, which is it? Third boss? Yeah, third area boss in there. I'm working on trying to defeat him and moving on.
Yeah, we'll get to all the stuff we played here in just a minute. We're gonna go to the phones though. Grab Chris real quick. Hey Chris, what's
Chris
going
on? Chris
is
on the other line. This
is Brock.
Yep. Yeah, it's not Chris. Sorry.
Oh, hang on a second. Let me get Chris real quick.
All right.
There's Chris.
What's going on?
Hey, how's it going?
I hate to tell y'all, but you got a fire in the building, Jay. The radio signal just went dead from the.
Yeah, we listened to it on the app on the phone there because that's the only way we can hear it, and I hear nothing but static. So, yeah, best way I guess. See, nobody can hear what we're saying right now. Who's listening over the radio? But best way for them to listen now would be to listen on the on the Twitch stream. Actually, it's the only way you can hear the radio station.
Yep.
Anyway, I've sent out texts to the necessary people, and hopefully we will get everything straightened out and figure it all out eventually. But anyway, thanks for that, Chris. How you doing?
Not too bad. Thanks for showing off the videos and stuff of Sniper Elite 4. You convinced me.
Oh, did you pick it up?
Yeah, I bought it. I got it on PlayStation.
Yeah, man. I love me Sniper Elite, but you know that mission took me 5.5 hours to play.
Yeah, and actually, I'm playing that same one.
The third one.
Of course, my sniper rifle is not good enough to make the shots you were first making at 550 meters away. But
it should be good enough. I haven't upgraded that thing at all, man.
I did beat you on that distance just slightly.
What did you get? 558?
No, you were 589.7.
I was 588.7.
I got 589 point something.
Yeah, yeah.
So just slightly.
And the next level after that doesn't give me any shot that helps.
No.
And the next level after that comes close.
And you're at nighttime too, so it was harder for me.
No. The nighttime level had nobody in there that was close enough.
The level after that?
And then the level after that, which is like is a little Italian village.
Yeah, I'm on the nighttime level right now.
Okay, yeah. The one after that goes back to daylight. It comes close. It gets to about 400 to 500 as far as the longest shot, but nothing even further out. So it looks like that level might have to be it as far as the try and get the furthest distance.
My trick was I backed up all the way as far as I could, took out the guy on the left. Actually, I hit the explosive crate as he walked past it.
Yeah.
And that's how I got that.
That's true. That would count, yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I'm enjoying that game. I'm still enjoying that game. I went through the nighttime level that I did, and I didn't kill everybody in that one. I got that one throws a surprise at you. I don't know.
It doesn't.
I just
started it, and
that one gives you a little surprise.
Okay.
And I didn't want to have to deal with that surprise again. And at the point I had made my way around, I was pretty much done with the level. All I had to do was kill off the rest of the people on the map if I wanted to. Mm. Otherwise, I could just go to this thing and call in the troops, and then I'm done. And I decided, I'm good. I spent 7-some-odd hours on that map.
Oh, wow.
And, not in one sitting.
Yeah.
But I'd spent, like, 7 hours on that map, and I was like, I'm done. I'm good. So I went and finished the mission. And now I'm working on the Italian mission, which I'm having a lot more fun with, actually, because they put you in a position where, a lot like the nighttime level, you've really got to splinter cell your way around that thing. You don't have any suppressed ammo. You've got no sound masking anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got to sneak your way around and just start finding the people who are kind of stepping away from the group and tagging them off and then kind of, whittling it down. So.
And notice if you're far enough away, you don't necessarily need the sound.
The suppressor?
The suppressor.
I still don't. I don't know what that distance is, and I still don't. Yeah. I still don't take the chance. I never use it. But boy, let me tell you, whenever I do clear enough people away to where I can get sound masking with one of the generators, God, it is a field day of just boop, boop, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
I am clearing that map through. So, Chris, we appreciate you calling. What have you been playing? You've been playing Splinter Cell. You've been playing Sniper Elite?
Yeah, that's what I've been playing the whole time. But I must pick a different rifle because are you using the original one, like the Springfield?
Yeah, I'm just using the regular one.
I may have been the rifle then. I may have I selected one with a better zoom on it, but oh well.
Okay.
It's still a blast to play.
Yeah, I'm just using the original rifle that you get at the outset, and then I change the range on it by, you know, if you tag an enemy, it tells you how far out they are, and your scope is already set to like zero. And so you can change your scope to 100 meters, 200 meters, all the way up to 500 meters, so that you can get a better aim. It doesn't increase your scope. It just helps when you aim to not put the aim assist so low on the scope or too high on the scope.
Yeah,
it puts it pretty much in the center.
It dopes the scope for how
right.
the different ranges.
Yeah.
But I actually, me and my buddy were playing it a while, and then we wanted to go out to the back of the woods there since I live in the country and shoot some pistols and everything. So I got out one of my, basically a sniper rifle, a scope rifle, and we had some soda cans sitting up on top of the, in front of the, our dead stop, you know, for the bullets and everything. And I hit it right at over a little over 100 yards away.
Yeah, it's honestly a lot of fun with it. If you really want a challenge, and Sniper Elite's one of the only games that I know that does this, obviously you can play it on hardcore, and that will adjust for wind, bullet drop, all these different things. It'll take away the little red aim assist thing, so the crosshair is not, you know, the center of the crosshair is not always your friend. You've got to go low or high or something like that. So it takes into account that stuff. Not only that, it also takes into account the amount of ammunition you have. I am one of those guys who, bang, 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 I may have 20 bullets left in the clip, but I'll do a reload anyway. Well, if you've got 20 bullets left in the clip and you do a reload, you just got rid of 20 bullets.
Hmm.
So your ammo, that's on hardcore mode, it works your ammo that way.
Ah.
So in other words, you want to use up your ammo all the way to the end of the clip before you reload. Otherwise, you're throwing away ammunition.
That is unique.
Yeah. So if you really want, there's tons of, and you can customize the challenge on this thing, by the way. This is one of the.
I'm playing it on hard right now.
Well, not on, but like it's got the presets of like hard, advanced, that sort of thing. But then it's got custom, so you can maybe make the enemies the enemies a little bit tougher, but also give yourself better aim assist. So you can adjust how difficult you want it, not with preset settings, but like the settings you want to make on it.
Yeah, I think I went into that a little bit, but I didn't spend too much time looking around in the menu.
Yeah, it's fantastic that way. So, well, Chris, we appreciate you calling, man.
All right, y'all have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Mm-hmm. Bye. Bye-bye.
Getting a lot of calls that we're off the air. I would love to tell people that we know that we're off the air, but I can't because we're off the air. There's no way for me to get that fixed for you. Hopefully they know about it. I do not know. I'm going to send I apologize for this right now, people. I'm going to send a real quick... I'm
about to say, you sent messages already because they haven't responded.
I did. I'm going to send another one here. I'm going to go and get Brock on the phone here. Hey, man.
Hey there. How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Thanks for calling in. Haven't heard from you in a while.
Hopefully I didn't knock you off the air there with my phone call.
Mm-mm. I think that's
We must have... I don't know when we started. I don't know when it started. I know my drive into work, and I drive into work pretty early for the show so I can get set up and take care of other things around the station. It was on fine on my way in.
Same
everything
here.
Everything was working. So on your way in to the show, when you got here at like 3:30 or 3:20.
Yeah. Dan was on.
They were still doing the show. Yep. Okay. Well, I don't know what happened.
And the listener, the caller that just called in said that, you know, we were on because he was listening to us.
Oh, so the show actually did start and then it just
did start and
clipped
so
off.
While we were on, that's when.
Interesting. I didn't press any buttons that I know of.
I'll still make sure we're FCC compliant.
So. Yeah, do that because you never know when we're going to come back. And if that was going to happen, it would be at the point that you would break that rule.
Exactly.
So what's going on?
Oh, not too much. Not too much. I'm catching up on some of the last couple weeks of shows, and I haven't heard last week's to hear what happened with the music, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh gosh, no.
You're in for a wonderful treat. You're in for a once-in-a-lifetime experience, because we're never
nightmares.
Doing it again.
And, so I just I just wanted to call in and see how things are going before everything gets deluged with Switch news.
I know. We started off the show with Switch news. Have you pre-ordered? What's your stance on the Switch, man?
I am fascinated by the console, but I am not going to be picking up one probably for like a year or so. I figure. Because there's, I was listening to your show from a couple weeks ago, I guess, and you basically summed up everything that why I'm not going to grab one right away.
The library is minuscule, man. The library is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, if I want to play Zelda, I can grab it on the Wii U. If I you know, there's some neat little things, but I figure, you know, like the Wii U, I picked up a Wii U about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
but it was with a bundle. It had Mario, it had Nintendo Land, and everything like that.
And there's some great games on the Wii U.
Yeah, I love it. But
if you haven't dipped your toe in
it right away,
if you haven't dipped your toe in a Wii U yet, man, that pool is brewing.
Like one of my favorite games from last year was on the Wii U. So it, you know, it's not like it's a bad system at all. It's just there was not a lot to start out with, and I'm not buying it for third party games. I'm buying it for either exclusives or for Nintendo games. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Exactly. There's still this slight urge in me just because it's a new thing.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like,
if I stumbled across one, it would be hard to say no.
It
but
has a new console smell.
Yeah. Like, I really like the idea of it.
I wish it was just new consoles that gave me that itch. Yeah. It's not that. Yeah. It's new technology that gives me that itch.
And I think the thing that's making me kind of scratch my head and want to see what happens is this actually replacing the 3DS and that line of products, or is it going to be something where they run it parallel to? Because it is.
I think parallel.
It is, but just thinking, I mean, as a parent, I would never give my kid a Switch to play with as a portable system. So, you know, I think that can be a big stop where they have no problem here. Have a 3DS, you know, it's nigh indestructible and you can slap it closed and everything like that.
Right. Ain't no slapping clothes on this thing. It just sits out. I do not understand that design. It actually, from just a OCD quality, it annoys the hell out of me. Because if I have nothing to protect that screen, something that is nice and convenient, which, I mean, I guess I'm doing that with, like, my phone, but.
But even there, you can fit your phone in your pocket, hopefully.
You can easily fit your phone in your pocket. This thing is not a pocket machine, man.
Yeah, it's like I look at it sort of like even the Vita. Like, the Vita, I love the Vita, but I wouldn't just take that out in the wild. When I take that around, like, it's a system I play in either, you know, when I'm in bed or, you know, sort of sitting around the house if all the TVs are occupied or whatever.
I pretty much agree with you on that, yeah.
Yeah, you know, or if I'm visiting family and I don't want to haul my systems down. But, you know,
of course, the other thing on our end is that we just don't have that kind of commute to where portability is a thing that works for us.
Same here. I'm just sitting there with it on. But yeah, you know, I wouldn't just be carrying it around to like a convention or something like that because, again, can't really put it in my pocket. My clamshell for the Vita doesn't fit. So, you know,
they may have something. I don't know. It's probably third party.
I'm sure they'll have something.
You know, it's like all the covers for the iPads and stuff whenever those came out. And it's like, here's a thing that covers up that folds over and just covers it up. I love that. If there's just something that I can flip open.
Ooh, if it could fold over and, like, cover it up and make you go to sleep mode.
You know, exactly.
Nice.
I'm just saying, it seems to fall into that tablet design.
Yeah.
So look there for your innovations as to how you want to protect it. You know, as far as the company's concerned, not the consumer.
Yeah. But again, still, it's a wait and see. It's funny that we were talking at the dinner table the other day, and my family basically started a betting pool on exactly when I'm going to get one. So my my son thinks I'm going to be getting one for the family, quote unquote, by Christmas. So we'll see. But
it's just that library needs to expand. Come E3, maybe we'll have better idea of how big that library is going to expand. You know, the only what was your game that the Wii U had last year that you enjoyed so much? Splatoon?
Tokyo Mirage Sessions was the one
I had no idea what that is.
Yeah, it's a crossover between Fire Emblem and the Shin Megami Tensei Persona game that Atlas does, and it was fantastic. It was really fun, great RPG, JRPG. But it was only on the Wii U, and, you know, I probably sunk a good, like, 100 hours into that game over the summer. Just gobbled up all my time and just lots of fun. And I used the Wii U probably more than I had probably in the 6 months prior to that. But, you know, and then afterwards, I haven't used it very much. But,
oddly enough, the only thing I'm excited about with the Switch, let's take the fact that the Zelda game's getting released on both systems. Let's just say it's on the Switch. Are the two games that they always release for a brand new console, handheld or otherwise, it's a Zelda and Mario title.
Yep.
That's it. We're back to square one again, whereas Zelda and Mario is an excitement for getting a system. But even that is only two games. It is only two games, and
where's the Metroid, though?
I know, right? Where's Metroid?
I just want to see, you know, I want to see if they'd be doing something either with, you know, either more JRPGs, because I'm a JRPG nut, or, you know, so something from Square or you know, whatever, like that, whether it's some Final Fantasy spinoff or something original, you know, or if they've had stuff like Layton games or Ace Attorney games, stuff like that, you know.
I love the Ace Attorney series and Professor Layton.
Not a fan of Ace Attorney for all the backtracking. Love the Layton, though.
Hey, after that last debacle with Star Fox, you think Nintendo's scared to try it again?
Maybe. I don't know.
Star Fox didn't
They would
turn
just
out
do a pure Star Fox, not...
Instead of the adventure game?
Jam everything into it that you could possibly jam into it or make it an adventure title. Mm. Yeah.
Spig, what have you been playing recently?
Well, I had a month off because I had some surgery, so I had a lot of time to catch up on stuff. So I finished Far Cry 4.
Oh, that's fun.
Finally caught up on that. Played through Watch Dogs 2 and finished that up. And loved that game. It's a fantastic game. And I finished Final Fantasy 15, Batman Telltale, and I've been playing Night in the Woods lately.
I saw you tweet something about that, or at least retweet something about that.
Yeah, just started playing. I mean, it just came out last week, and I've had a pretty busy week, but I've been just playing a little bit of that so far. And, you know, going through Hitman as well. And
Elusive Target just got released.
They've got another one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I need to go check that out.
I failed it.
Oh, did you?
I have two targets this time. Mm. I got the first one, and I killed the second one, got noticed, and shot to death.
And it's in Hokkaido. It's in Hokkaido, right?
Yes,
I have not done that. I just got to Colorado through the story.
You haven't done Hokkaido yet?
No, I've just done...
I just started
Colorado. I did Bangkok and then started Colorado, and so I'm going
to do Hokkaido before you do the Elusive Target, because you need to know the layout. You need to... That just starting it first time with the available like Elusive Target would not be the way to go at all.
No.
Is so much fun.
Yeah, oh, it's great. I'm looking forward to Horizon Zero Dawn on Tuesday.
I know. That's like we started off the show with like here's the big excitement is brand new. It's a new console week, you know, and then it was like, well, it's new Zelda week too, which is big. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves their Zelda and likes getting a new one. And, you know, In my mind, though, this week means Horizon Zero Dawn is what that means for me.
I was gonna wait because I have a whole bunch of other stuff to work on. I've been doing some other games and stuff, but it's been getting just such great reviews, and you know, I've been really digging a lot of open world games lately. And
they
basically say this is the best open world.
You know,
world
I look at so we started playing. I dipped into Ghost Recon Wildlands beta a little bit. That's going on this weekend. And we'll talk about that when we talk about what we played, but I finally decided to look and see when this thing was coming out. It's coming out March the 7th.
Oh, wow.
And I thought, you poor, pitiful fool.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a multi-platform game.
Mm-hmm.
Zelda's very exclusive. It's one game. And Horizon Zero Dawn is one game, one system.
One platform.
It's a platform exclusive.
Yep.
But out of Nintendo and PS4, people are good. And I don't see where Ghost Recon Wildlands is going to. I don't see where that's going to do very well.
Maybe that's why they put it out here. Maybe there's issues with it or something. And they just wanna,
you know, I'd love to
just
think,
get it out there.
You know, maybe yeah. Because
if you only have an Xbox One, then you can have fun with this while everybody's playing their other games.
Well, the other problem though is that you've got this thing is huge. By the way, Ghost Recon Wildlands is massive. The map is gigantic. It's almost so big. It's actually a negative because they can't fill all that space with stuff for you to do.
Yep.
So the majority of the game is spent traveling.
Ugh.
Right. You know, and that can be fun in co-op because you're taking these windy roads in the cars and and we did that. Or you're getting on a helicopter and moving around, and we did all that, and it was fun, and it was great. But the more you do that, I'm sure the more it's like, oh, God, can't we just fast travel to a safe house and then go from there?
Is it multiplayer? I haven't really – I mean, I don't
– Yeah, it's four-player co-op.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's four player co-op, but you know, you're backed up against another open worlder, Horizon Zero Dawn, which is also backed up against another gigantic open worlder, Legend of Zelda. And then at the end of March, you've got Mass Effect.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was one reason why I almost didn't pull the trigger on Horizon, just because I knew I had that coming up, and then I have Persona 5 basically right after that in April as well.
I mean, where are you going to find time to put in the effort that Ghost Recon wants you to put in? Because, again, it's massive. I just don't see this going well for the Ubisoft guys. I don't see it going well for the Ghost Recon thing. Maybe. I don't know.
I think it's an established franchise, and I think, you know, there might be people out there who just really like that, and Horizon is new, and Zelda, maybe people are like, Zelda, who knows?
I know. Everybody's got their thing. I just don't think...
I think that's the only reason why, you know, if it was just something else, like just Wildlands and not Ghost Recon Wildlands, I think it would definitely have a lot harder time at this time.
Yeah.
I don't, and I get that. Everybody's got their thing. I just don't think there's enough people who have the Ghost Recon thing over the other two things to give this thing any legs to where they're going to come out a month later and say, the Ghost Recon release was fantastic for Ubisoft. We are so impressed with how well it did. I don't think you're going to get that kind of press release from Ubisoft after this thing releases. I really don't see that there's anything wrong with it. As far as what I played, I don't see any problems with the game, and I've spent about 6 hours in it now.
Can you play single player at all?
You can play single player. You can.
Okay. But it's mostly multiplayer focused.
Well, we'll talk about it right now, actually. Actually, we don't. We need to go to our break. Can I put you on hold and come back?
Sure.
Okay, let me put you on hold, and then there. Okay, he's on hold. All right, we'll come back, and we'll talk about Ghost Recon Wildlands right after this. Going into the music here, it is another game that released this week. Or not this week, but this month. It's a Nintendo title, Nintendo 3DS. It is Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World. And this is Poochie's theme, and we'll be back with more in-game chat after this. It sounds like game show music, like 70s game show music. Back to in-game chats, and Spigot, any idea what music that is? Hey, Brock, you there? Oh, I'm sorry. I had Brock turned off. Hold on. Hold on, Brock.
The button broke.
There we go. Now, have any idea what music that is?
I would hope that it's Silent Hill.
It is. Silent Hill 2.
Yep. Not Laura's theme, no.
No.
No, that's called Promise Reprise.
I know the music. I just want to place it.
Real quick, Brock.
Yeah.
All terrain attack transport. Do you pronounce it?
AT-AT.
Okay, thank you.
I'm pretty sure I asked you this last year, so
maybe my brain is stupid at times.
Just want to make sure we're both right. So.
AT-AT, AT-AT. Which is it?
I say AT-AT.
It's AT-AT.
Because number one, the Kenner toys, you know, actually said that in the commercial.
Yep.
And there's this big argument on Twitter with like the people from Star Wars, and they're like, no, it's AT-AT because you don't call it a AT-STA for AT-ST. I'm like, yeah, but you also don't call it a twin ion engine or a TIE fighter. It's a TIE fighter. So, meh.
It's an AT-AT.
Yeah. All right, cool. Thanks. We could keep you on the air now.
Did you get a PSVR?
Oh, no. I want to.
Tell me about that.
I have kids. can't afford that yet. So I got a new computer instead. So, I don't think I told you guys that yet.
Oh, you got a new computer, huh?
Yeah, I upgraded my computer back in, like, end of October, early November. That's probably the last time I called in. So,
nice.
Yeah, so I've actually got a machine that lets me be able to play games. Like,
what did you put in it?
It's I've got a 1070.
Nice. All right.
Yeah, so I think it's got about...
You're good for another, like, 5 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a bit of an improvement from the 260 I was using.
Holy
before.
Cow.
So, yeah. So there's a reason I played a lot of hidden object games on my computer before. So, yeah. So I've that's why I've been able to play things. Like, I played Rise of the Tomb Raider through on.
What'd you think of that?
I loved it. I thought it was great as well.
Yeah, so, I'll have to keep that in mind now for this when Christmas rolls around again, Christine. When I throw out the gifts.
Yeah, I actually can play games now on my computer. So
For that PSVR, I kid you not, seeing the loading screen with the AT-AT walking in front of you. I mean, I played Battlefront before and whatever, but like actually seeing it like that, I've never felt that immense size.
The ground level, like it's at ground level. And
yeah,
AT-AT. Oh, wow.
It was amazing. It blew me away.
I'd never take off the headset after that. So.
I just watched it walk by, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, and so anyway, back to talking about Ghost Recon Wildlands, which I think is what we were going to talk about.
I think so.
So single player co-op. That's where we were going with
it. Yes, it is.
Like, is it one of those games that's worth playing single player, or is it built around?
Built around a squad of four.
Yeah, okay. It's always built around a squad of four, but it feels like, honestly, in the beginning of the game. It feels like you really ought to be playing with friends. This is one of those games where you yourself are not a bullet sponge. The enemies are not bullet sponges. A couple of shots to the...
So it's not like The Division.
Yeah, well, it's not like The Division. It's not like Splinter... Or not Splinter Cell. It's not like Sniper Elite, which is what I've been playing a lot of.
Yeah.
It's a very... It's very
Rainbow
much...
60?
Huh?
Almost like Rainbow Six,
a little bit, where it's more tactical.
Yeah, it's Rainbow Six-y, but it's also Ghost Recon-y. It's what Ghost Recon has always been. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
It's been a long time since I played one.
I know. Same here. It's been a good while since I played...
I played the Future Soldier... Future Warriors?
Raw?
It was the last one that they did.
Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter?
No, it was after that. Future...
Oh, like the Future Soldier or whatever.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and you can also get four people co-op throughout the entire game as a squad. Which I, you know, would love to have done.
Yeah, I played, obviously I started out single player just because I was trying to get it. I didn't want to jump in somebody's co-op game and not know what I'm doing.
That's exactly what I did.
No, that was fine. There were two of us there. We were ready to coach
Although,
you along. It was no big deal.
In the chat, they were talking about never getting into a helicopter with us again.
Nah, you really shouldn't.
what did you do?
Oh, we were being bad.
Oh, well, we were
not necessarily bad.
We were just playing around, and then we
found out that the drones, because you have a drone in the game, right?
It's one of the ways you can. It's one of those ways you can be a ghost recon.
Yeah,
but
a drone could take down a helicopter
by being a ghost.
Yeah, the drone. Like, so we were. I was sitting on the outside of the helicopter, and we're flying around. I was like, oh look, I can dispatch my drone out while we're up here. Of course, your drone has a battery life and it has a signal.
Mm-hmm.
And the battery life is how long it can stay in the air. The signal is how far it is away from you.
Yeah.
So that you can see what it's doing and everything. And of course, we're in a helicopter. So I immediately launch the thing and my signal just starts to go weak because we've already, you know, zoomed right past it.
I thought you flew it into the
Well, no, what happened was I had Matt, I was like, hey, just hover here. Just hover over our objective. I'll pop out the drone and
tag things
and look around and tag stuff while we're up here. And I popped out my drone and it went into the propellers.
Yeah, the propellers.
Rotor, whatever. It went into the propellers and
straight up took it out.
The drone was like, fine. The helicopter was like, I can't handle this, and broke apart and we all fell, you know. And so, yeah,
so,
it was...
Yeah, Cavalier, Gamer Me, sorry.
So you did that.
Yeah, I did that.
Well, he did that.
I didn't mean to. I didn't know that the drone was going to do something like that, but sure enough, it did. Yeah, Cavalier UK, who's in the chat room with us, he was on our team. The Gamer Me, who was in the chat room with us, he was on our team as well. So it was me, Matt, and then those two guys, and we were running around doing missions and stuff like that. And any time we had a disconnect, which we did from time to time...
Yeah, a couple times it dropped out.
So just the beta, right, that you're playing? playing.
Yeah, we're just doing the beta. As soon as it disconnected, your four AI guys popped back in.
Oh, okay.
And so you weren't, you know, necessarily left alone. The four AI guys are really playing single player can be nice at times. If you've really got nobody on to play with, it's still okay to play single player, mm-hmm. but only after you've really leveled yourself up. Because then you can unlock so much more stuff for your squad to do.
Okay.
Starting out at level one, your squad is just very basic. They can't really do much. So as soon as you level that up, you can put those skill points into your squad mates, and they can be more resistant. They also get better better training. There's the sync shots that you can earn, which is basically where if you're looking through your goggles, you're looking through your scope, you're looking through the drone, you can tag enemies, and then you can set targets on up to three enemies, which correlates to the guys who are in your squad.
And they'll go out and take them out.
Yeah, and then you can press the button, and they'll take them out all at the same time.
This is almost Republic Commando-y.
Almost. Answered.
Yeah, and
not
so
quite,
you sit there and you tag those, and then if there's a fourth guy, that can be your guy, because as soon as you pull the trigger, that also triggers the sync kill type thing.
Cool.
So when you take out your guy, they'll automatically take out those three guys who you had tagged.
Oh.
And so it's a nice way to clear things out, and you can do this from a great distance away. It was very stealthy, and I felt really good about it. But that only came about once I had leveled my guy up and was playing single player. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would say go multiplayer on this all day. Just do this multiplayer as much as you can. When you've got a good squad together, you can have a lot of fun with
and,
it.
And, I mean, with it being beta, I was just, we were trying to test out a little bit, like, you know, find out, like, oh, hey, you know, bullets don't hurt each other, but, well, grenades. And so, you know, I threw a grenade and it blew up and, oh, grenades do. And, mm-hmm. you know. I kind of feel bad that, you know, Cav and Gamer and me were kind of on the receiving end of a little bit of that testing.
You know,
but,
you've established a reputation as doing something.
Oh, hush your mouth.
No.
Nope, don't want to hear it. Alternate facts.
But yeah,
this is why they don't play with me often.
I really, like I said, for the time that we put in it, I did enjoy it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, but, there was... there was still a sense that, I really hate to say this because everybody loves big maps. It's too big.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's fine if there's a lot to do and actually worthwhile things to do in it, but a big map for the sake of having a big map is just a lot of area to run around in.
Yeah. The driving around was kind of fun, like, you know, trying to get to the places, and that was kind of like zany. We're all like, you know, if we're piled in the same car.
That was fun.
Is it bigger than Far Cry 4's map?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's about as big a map as I'd want. Like, that was big, and I don't think I'd want a map bigger than that.
It's bigger than Far Cry 4. It's much bigger than Far Cry 4.
Yeah.
The thing is tremendously huge. Helicopters don't work very...
Don't fly right.
The controls on the helicopters are horrible. Haven't gotten into a plane yet.
No. The driving was fun. Just, you know, it was kind of manic in a way, trying to avoid pedestrians.
Anytime I got into a helicopter, Brock, every time I flew one, I thought, why can't this just be like Just Cause 3?
Oh, yeah.
Because that works.
That flies so well.
That flies really well. Every time I jumped out of the plane, I thought, why can't this be Just Cause 3? But it couldn't.
So you landed.
They won't let you. Yeah, they will not let you. They won't let you exit out of a helicopter if you haven't purchased the parachute perk.
Really?
That's a lot of P's. Yeah, you've got to pick up the parachute
positively.
Perk. Otherwise, you can't exit the vehicle. You can't. They won't let you just jump out of the helicopter unless it's landed.
Interesting.
Yeah. So once I did that, then then I could jump and then parachute. But again, every time I did. The guy takes the form of, like, what's his name? Fallen in Just Cause 3?
Ricardo. No, not Ricardo.
No.
Whatever his name
Rico.
Is.
Rico.
Rico, that's
yeah, yeah, yeah. He takes that form, and if you want to dive, same thing. He does all that stuff. And then as soon as you pull out your parachute, that's that. And I wanted to let go of my parachute to fall some more. I couldn't do it.
You use a grappling hook.
You couldn't do it. Once your
no
parachute is... Yeah, no wingsuit. Once your parachute is deployed, it is deployed. That is it. So... I don't know. You know, that's
different
a little
style.
Bit, yeah, that's a little nitpicky on my part.
I will say I want to work, you know, like I want to do some more, but also have better communication, because one of the things that I noticed was with four people playing, you know, four, you know, friends or, you know, doing a co-op, Like, you know, I'd be like getting ready for a sight. And so, you know, like a shot, and then, you know, get my target ready and I'm aiming it up and someone else would shoot them. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it was a lot of,
well,
if you could assign numbers,
if everybody, well, you can,
yeah, I know. Like you can't, I was saying you can't assign
if numbers. Everybody is assigned.
So yeah, if you say like, all right, I got number four, you got number three, you got two, you got one. And then like, you could, you know, sync them up that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes, you know, in the heat of it and everything, you're just like, all right, let me take out this guy. I got to beat him and someone else shoots him in the head. And you're like, oh. But on the alternate, you know, when there's a scene where a time when you're up on a roof and there's a guy below you. And now I was able to sneak around because he had his aggro and, you know, I took him out. So it was fun. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I did have fun with it, but not in a sense that I felt like I was going to shell out money to play this. And also it's also on consoles too.
Yeah.
So this might be a better game experienced on like a PS4 when you're all joined into a party.
A lot of stuff to tag.
And you have the communication and everything else. People can join your games. There may be a little
easier to work.
Yeah, there may be a better audience there for it. I don't really know. The controls work great. They did fine. So I just don't see it. I think the map is too big. There's too much traveling between places you need to get to. I understand there's the fast travel. You unlock safe houses, which will let you fast travel to the next zone. But
at this point, there's a lot to do on that giant map.
There's a massive amount to do, and there's little side quests. There's little tiny things that you can do and whatever. But it just doesn't feel. It feels like it's lacking something that could have helped it be a little bit more engaging to want to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
The rewards you get from it doesn't seem to be. I mean, Division gives you XP. This gives you XP whenever you kill somebody, but the Division would give you like random loot and stuff. There's no loot system here that I know of. Not that everything needs a loot system. I suppose it doesn't, but for whatever reason, this thing is not pulling me in to pick it up. For the beta, I think it's fun, and I think you can have fun with a lot of people or with friends playing it, but I just can't see it.
One of those ones getting a while after, you know, they get some DLC out for it or something like that and get, you know, find some friends who want to play it for cheap.
Right, man, something like that. So, I don't want to keep you on the phone too long, man. I know you got to run, and we're going to go over the games that we've played. But,
no problem. I got to go cook some supper anyway.
So. All right, go for it, and let us know when you pick up Switch.
I will.
And call more often, by the way.
Yes.
I will. This has been a bit of a gap.
And I know you haven't gotten there yet, but I'm so sorry about the music when you listen to that episode.
you know what? That'll probably be one of those things I'll love. So.
Yeah, probably. Knowing you, it probably will be. So, all right, man. Take care, and thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you want to get in on the show, you can. 334-272-9228 is the number. RJ, we'll start with you on what you've been playing. I know you've been playing Neo, but go from there, and then we'll probably take a break and come back, and Matt and I'll finish up on that one.
Okay, make it quick. Playing Neo earlier. Getting to stage 3. I've been got a boss that I have to deal with, trying to get through that.
You're not going to be here next weekend, right?
Next week? No, that's the final round is on the 10th.
Oh, it's the one after. Okay.
After, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But, like I said, working on that. Played a little bit of a Street Fighter, loaded it up, actually. I'm really going to have to start training for final round on the 10th of March, trying to play that. Also, as well, Guilty Gear, Xrd Revelator. Those are two games I'm going to be signed up for and playing in that one. Also played a little beta of a little title called Disc Jam from High Horse Entertainment. It's kind of like a upgraded version of Windjammers, basically.
I saw that.
Yeah, like a sports action.
Somebody
title.
Had one of those websites had like, oh, here's gameplay from Windjammers, and I didn't want to use their stupid player, so I thought, let me just go to YouTube and find it. So I type in Windjammers, uploaded recently, and it shows a game called Disc Jam.
Yeah,
which is not a top down view. It's a like a third person behind
from
the
behind. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tennis, like a traditional.
But
tennis
game. I was watching this and I thought. This is totally Windjammers. How did they get away with this?
Yeah.
How did they get away with this?
Mm-hmm. Special throws and everything.
Yeah, it's all there.
Yeah,
it's totally Windjammers.
Yeah, it's Windjammers with a different perspective, really, and an updated touch on graphics and everything. Didn't get too much time with that. I mean, I got the gist of it, got the tutorials down. The controls are really iffy for me in terms of like throwing the disc. It's like involves rotating the analog stick as soon as you catch it, and this is real particular about the timing. To get the most effective throws out of there. But as with any game, just practice that and get perfect on that. But outside of that, that's pretty much all I've played this week.
Oh, all right. Well, there we go then. All right, when we come back, Matt and I will go over what we've played. The news, as far as, is there anything in the news here that I wanted to really go over? It's a lot of Switch stuff, man. It's a ton of Switch stuff. There's Nintendo doing another account situation where, you know, first there was friend codes, then there was the Nintendo ID thing or Nintendo account, whatever it was for the... For the Miis and stuff, I don't remember, but and now there's a new one, so that's out there now. There's the final talk. Well, finally, Nintendo has talked about how they're going to link your account to the games that you buy with it, rather than the system that you buy the games with. Whereas before, a lot of those virtual console games that you bought were tied to the system you bought it to, and they don't carry over. So every time a new system came around, you couldn't get those games to come back to your account because it wasn't tied to that account. They're switching that up now, and they're tying it to the account. So there's two steps forward, or maybe there's one step forward. Then they take two steps back by not letting you take your profile or something like that, and your profile is tied to that console. I can't go log in on somebody else's console, you know, and play from there. I can't do it. They won't let you do that. They're still behind in the way that they manage their online stuff. I mean, Nintendo has always seemed to be dragging behind everybody else. They were the first one. They were the last ones to get rid of their disc-based systems.
But now they're going back to cartridge.
Well, they're going back to cartridge. It's the tiny things. Yeah. But yeah, they're going back to cartridge. Although I would say some of these are probably,
if anything, disc based is also kind of, you know,
digital downloads, you know. But their digital situation is the same thing.
Yeah.
The card, you get 32 gigs of space on this thing, and already one of the launch titles, I think, exceeds 32 gigs. So you've got to buy a memory card to put it on. That's okay because most people get bigger hard drives for their consoles anyway, unless it comes with like something really beefy. And I would have done that anyway. For my 3DS, I got a much bigger card than what it came with. For my Vita, I got a much bigger card than what it came with.
Quick question.
What?
Sort of relates to a little bit this with, you know, stuff tied to consoles and stuff. Reading the chat room.
Yeah.
One of the guys having issues with his Xbox downloading GTA 5. It gets to like, you know, 70%.
Mitchie Poo there? Yeah. Okay, well, I got an Xbox One S and I'm trying to download GTA 5, but it stopped at 79. It just does not start again.
Is the Xbox, like, if he, you know, gets it from, you know, the Microsoft store, is that tied, you know, that's tied to his account, right? So he could delete it and try and re-download it?
I mean, if it's starting to download and stops in the middle, then
yeah, that just sounds.
It would have already given him an error message if it couldn't do it to begin with. So the fact that it's going through and stops at 79%, I don't know. It could be space on his system, although
yeah,
I'm
that's
pretty
what I was
sure.
Wondering.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got. I would think he would have space. I mean, most people know how much space they got to be downloading those things.
And I mean, don't they usually, if you try and download, you don't have enough space? It's like, hey, there's not enough space on this to.
Yeah, usually it won't even start the download.
It'll tell you beforehand.
Yeah, it's going
it
to look at
space
it
or not.
And say that it doesn't have this. So I am not sure what the situation is or why it's.
I just don't
want
to tell him to go ahead and like delete what he's downloaded and try and re-download it if it, like, you know, takes it out, you know, if it's not quite tied to
it. It's possible. I remember when I put the GTA 5 game into my PS3 when it first released.
Yeah.
And I put it in and it went to do the install on it and it popped up and said, you need to get rid of some stuff, man. I don't have enough room to put this thing on. It was the first time that ever happened that a game had told me, hey, you don't have enough room. And I was like, what? So I went through and I deleted a bunch of stuff and was able to play it. But I don't know. I don't know what his situation might be. So
he's getting a couple of hints in the chat room. So
yeah,
hopefully something will work.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll be back with more. We're going to take a break. Our final break of the show here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more of in-game chat right after this. Here is music. Again, we're doing, most of these are from games that released this month. This one, Sniper Elite 4. We'll be right back with more in-game chat after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat.
This makes me happy like you would not believe.
I guess so. You requested it.
Yes.
This is music from Stardew Valley. It's the overture for Stardew Valley.
It's just, I think it's a pretty song regardless, but yeah.
It's a nice little lullaby sound to it, you know? Gets me in a sleepy mood, which is fine for when I want to sleep. Usually not during a show. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Final segment for this show. We have been pretty much off the air for the entire length of the show.
Well, I guess the perks of listening to us on
I know some people are like, what's the difference?
You guys sound like white noise anyway.
Yeah, what's the difference? So, yeah, anyway, welcome back to the show. Going to go over, I guess, a couple of things that we played. I mean, you know, Matt and I have really talked about our experience with Ghost Recon Wildlands, so we put our time into that.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a little bit about this. I've still been playing Sniper Elite 4.
Same here.
It is still taking me hours upon hours upon hours upon hours to finish a level.
You're methodical.
Very.
Is that the average now, about 4 or 5 hours per stage?
I think it would depend on the stage.
So far, it's increased every single stage.
Oh, okay.
The first hour was 4.5 hours, or the first mission was 4.5 hours. The second mission was 4 hours and 45 minutes or so. It was around the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The third mission was at Marathon, 5.5 hours. The fourth mission was 7 hours. And now here I am on mission number 5, and I don't know how much time I put into it. I'm not done with it. I'm still working on it. So more than likely, it's going to be a long one again. Again, they've started... The first game starts you out, I mean, it's a tutorial, or the first game. The first mission starts you out, and it's kind of like your introduction to it. So they give you...
A little hand-holdy.
Yeah, they give you sound masking. And again, I have to say that I am probably not playing this game the way that they would intend you to play it.
Mm-hmm.
The AI doesn't, you know, this isn't one of those things where if you get spotted, the game's pretty much over. Mm-hmm. If you get spotted, you can just go hide and wait for everybody to calm back down, and you're good to go again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how I play it. They want you to play it where you blow up tanks and you blow up, you make a lot of noise and all this other stuff. They want you to do that stuff. I don't play it that way. If I am a sniper, my mission is to get in there, do my objective. If it's to blow something up, sure. But to do my objective and get out without ever being noticed, without ever being seen, without ever anybody knowing that I was there.
Right.
That doesn't mean not killing anybody. There's no way I could get through this game without killing someone. Although, I bet there are people out there who are able to do it. But yeah, I'm putting too much of a consequence on my actions than what the game does.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just, you know, if I miss a shot, I take another shot right away, sound mask or not.
Mm.
You know, I just hide a little bit until they give up searching for me.
Yeah,
or even then, just, you know, start shooting them.
I monitor people's paths and see which way they go. So I have to watch them kind of do a full rotation before I realize, all right, he's going to come this way, then he's going to turn and go up, and then I'm going to take him out. This time, I actually started, on this level, I actually started using my tools to an advantage. I started hiding in bushes and then throwing rocks to lure them over. I hadn't been doing that for a while. I'd just been trying... forgot about really using the rock.
Oh man, I love the rock. I'll like throw it towards a explosive barrel, wait till they get close enough to it, and just
And see, that's what they want you to do, but I'm like, nope, I want that guy to walk over here so I can stab him in the neck and then take him out, or just pop him real quick with my silenced pistol. And then
you
get him out of the way.
You don't like the explody barrels, do you?
I love them, but I rarely ever use them, although I'm starting to now because I realize the game wants you to do that. It doesn't kill the rest of the AI on the map if you blow something up that's across the way. It doesn't send them into a, you know, frenetic or frantic mess. I guess over the four levels, I'm starting to come to terms with how they want you to play this game rather than to how I want to play this game.
I'd say still play it how you want.
I am.
Yeah.
I am in some regards. Like, I am still saying I don't want anybody to see me. I don't want to get noticed.
You want to ghost it.
Yeah, I do still want to ghost it. But like I was talking to Chris... this particular area that they put me on this level gives me very little room to work with my sniper rifle. Cause it'll, I'll be I'll be noticed.
And
so,
they don't have any kind of like noise machines or anything.
And there's no sound masking. You don't have any kind of suppressed ammo. I don't have any of that. So it was a long time before I got to pull out my sniper rifle and actually do stuff. See, however,
that's why I kind of want like the silenced sniper rifle. That way you don't have to worry about.
Can you get one at the outset of the game?
It'll be in DLC.
Because
when I noticed when you're going through the loadout, it actually has it, and they have a silent sniper rifle, but it is DLC. It's like,
interesting.
I'm about to say this mission sounds like a run and gun type thing. If there's very little cover, no sound.
No. It's not run and gun. I can tell you that because they're packed in so tight that if you were to run and gun it, you would get mowed down because
overpowered.
There's too many. There's too many of them that would take you out.
Okay. You say you got a grenade shot.
I did get a grenade shot today.
Is that your first?
It was my first because I really just hadn't been thinking about it.
Man. Did you ever do that on 3?
Maybe. I don't remember.
I love doing that.
I'm sure I did, but it just hasn't crossed my my mind while I've been playing. I've been a lot of the places I've been looking just to get a shot off so that I can kill that guy and move on to the next one. And then there was one where the guy was way across the way. He was standing perfectly still. I was close enough that I could make out that he had a grenade on his body, and I aimed for that place, and then boom, fired it off. The bullet did the little X-ray thing, and I watched it explode on his chest.
Yeah,
and then boom, and I thought, oh, that's fantastic. If I can do more of that, I will totally do more of that.
Have you booby-trapped a body yet?
I have. I've started. I did that in level 4.
Yeah,
I started
doing
that. I
saw you do that once, right?
Yeah. Well, I did see you do it, and always.
And I was like, oh, you could do that.
It gives you the option if you've got one of those
teller mines.
Items select. Well, teller mines, trip mine, not trip mines. What are the other ones? The spike mines. The.
Oh, not the spike mines.
There's the land mines.
Yeah.
Are those?
Those are the teller mines.
Or is that the S mine? The S mine.
Oh,
S mine.
I think is like the anti personnel.
Yeah, the S mine you can rig it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I've used trip mines, S mines, and land mines and everything else for that. I've sabotaged bodies with those and then thrown a rock over there to get the attention. They discover
like,
a body,
oh, hey.
Boom, it blows up. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I really have enjoyed every. I talk about how long I spend on a level, but that's not a negative for me.
Yeah, you're not. If you're enjoying it, then that's awesome.
That doesn't bother me at all. In fact,
it almost seems like the time just goes away.
It does. I'll sit there and while I'm waiting for them to make their moves, or while I'm waiting for them to find the body so they can go into all their little modes and do whatever, I'll just pick up my phone, I'll check Facebook, I'll do whatever while they're doing all that stuff while I wait, waiting for that whole thing to happen and to go through the motions. You know, whenever there's a radio tower, I tag those, and I want to get those guys taken out as soon as possible. I try not to kill anybody that may be around a tower if I haven't noticed the radio operator.
I've been noticing radio operators.
Oh, yeah. If a radio operator is around and sees somebody die, they will call in backup, and you'll have more people on your hands, vehicles, and all sorts of stuff. If you get rid of the radio operators...
Is it kind of like how the officers blow their whistle to get people...
It is, but much worse. An officer blows their whistle, then his squad will start... His squad becomes alert of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
A radio operator notices what's going on. He calls in backup, and you get guys who weren't on the map at all now on the map.
Oh, man.
Yeah, with vehicles.
Oh, man.
They'll bring in backup and support. So you've got to... I try not to kill anybody around a radio tower unless I have spotted the operator first and have taken him out. Spotters now. When I see spotters, I take them out as soon as I possibly can. Snipers are the same way. If I find a sniper, I'll take him out.
So you got a hierarchy of what needs to go first in these levels.
Yeah. Oh, easily. Yes. Totally. It's still fun to do. It is still... it has not... The amount of time that I put into this game, to tell you, is just... It hasn't pulled away from my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It hasn't taken away from my experience and it hasn't, you know, from the detriment of the game, it hasn't done anything. So it's been good. And I've enjoyed a lot of it. So, Matt, where are you in it? You're on 4?
I'm on 4.
Okay.
Just started. I'm still in that very beginning open area.
At nighttime?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you going to tackle that? Because now you've got a, what is it called, a pillbox? You've got a guy in a pillbox, I think, in a turret.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, there's that guy. That was fun for me. I never blew it up. I never had to.
Okay.
I could have.
I did tag it, so I noticed. Well, I
tagged
it, was there.
And then I was able to get above it. There's a walkway above it, and then I was able to get down right to the window, to the slit where the gun is, go prone, crawl under it, because where you place the satchel charge is on the other side that I couldn't get to.
Mm.
So I go prone, crawl under it. I may not have had to do this. I have no idea. Place the satchel charge, and then, you know, wiggle myself away from it and then get across. I could have taken it out there. I just didn't have to, so yeah. I didn't. I let it sit there while I did a bunch of other stuff, you know, and we're taking out other guys. So, I don't know, man. It's for some people this thing works, and for some people it doesn't. But for me, this is so much fun to do. I really enjoy everything I get to do about this game. They have not done what they used to do with Sniper Elite 3.
Where the first half would be stealthy, shooty, right. And the second half would be just...
Once you finish your objective, they throw something else at you that takes away the whole sniper feeling.
Yeah.
They haven't done that yet. Here I am on the fifth mission, and I still haven't gotten anything like that just yet.
I think that was the biggest issue you had with the game, right?
I hated that part.
You hated that part, yeah.
I did not feel... Because suddenly I couldn't play the way that I wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
I was forced to play the way that they wanted me to play, and they're not doing that yet. Now, I'm five missions into a 10-mission... game.
So you're halfway there.
So I think we're probably good to say that they probably won't, but who knows? It might come in. But so far, it's doing it less than it did in Sniper Elite 3. Sniper Elite 3, I'd have already gone through this like three or four times.
Yes.
In the missions. But so far, not with this one, which has been nice. But anyway, that's what I've been playing, Ghost Recon Wildlands and Sniper Elite 4. And then this week, I've got a pre-order for Horizon Zero Dawn, which comes out on Tuesday. So... you know, I'm going to try and put in more as much time as I can on Sniper Elite and then move on to Horizon Zero Dawn. So,
yeah.
What about you, Matt?
Basically, kind of what you mentioned. The Ghost Recon did the beta.
But you're not taking as much time in these levels as I am on the Sniper Elite.
No, but I'm still enjoying them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, still having a good time with that. You know, Sniper Elite, playing a little bit more of that. But Stardew Valley has really gotten...
Oh, you got hooked on that, did you?
I did.
Did you pick that up during the Freedom Bundle?
Brock gifted it to me.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So, because he got the Freedom Bundle, and so, you know, he's like, hey. And I'm like, well, I'll take Stardew Valley, and man, because he already had it.
Did you not pick up the Freedom Bundle?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. Man,
I thought you got it for some reason.
No.
All right.
That game is, I love it. I sort of love-hate it, in a way.
Isn't it like Harvest Moon? I never played Harvest Moon.
It is.
Yeah.
And that's why I love and hate about it. It sort of, like, gets to me where, like, you know, like, I want to stop. I'm like, all right, one more day, and then I'm going to turn it off. I got stuff to do. I have a life to live. And then I'm like, oh, hey, I could plant some more stuff. And, oh, I could, you know, farm this little area over here. Or I can go fishing. All right, no, one more day. I could turn this off and go live my life. Oh, hey, look, there's a mine I could go down. And, I mean, it's like that continuous. Where, you know, I was telling RJ that, you know, before the show that, you know, I play video games as a form of escapism, right? And now I'm, like, worried about my virtual farm and my virtual crops, buying virtual seeds so I can make virtual money and, you know, virtually fish. I mean, all these things. Like, I need an escape from my virtual job, you know, but I love it.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't believe in freedom. You're right, I don't. But it's a lot of fun. It's a cutesy little 16-bit, you know...
It is.
...game that...
I'm surprised it's not on 3DS. I'm surprised it hasn't made its way to 3DS or a handheld.
From what I heard, there was talks about maybe, like, the Vita.
I know. I've heard
and
about the Vita stuff, yeah.
You know, they want to do, like, an actual disc version like they would Terraria.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's really... It just kind of very mellow in a way where you don't have to go for the highest yield crops to make the most gold or whatever. You can sort of, like, play it how you want to. And so I just hit, like, they had the four seasons. I just hit the third day of summer now.
Okay.
So just hit summer. All my spring crops are gone, so, you know, got rid of them. I'm starting to plant summer crops. But I'm just, like, taking it slow. You know, you could talk to the
That
village.
Seems like a game that you can do that with.
Yeah.
Or that you probably should do that with. It's like, this
unlike,
is a...
Harvest Moon actually had an end game. You know, I think it's, like, 2 years or so, whatever. This one doesn't. You know, you could just keep on going as long as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. You know, I mean, taking, exploring the mines as I want to, just a little bit of here and there, or just, take an entire day fishing and, just catching fish. And yeah, I really like it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, good.
And the music's great.
And you're enjoying the music. Yes, yes. Of course.
I mean, if something has a good, normally, like with Sniper Elite, I just turn the music all the way down. I don't, I'm like, whatever, I don't care about it. Or if it's,
I hardly ever hear music.
Yeah, but if something like, like these games, they just really add to it. So I'm like, okay, I'll have that going. And mm-hmm. So I'll continue to listen to it.
The music that we're using for next week's episode all come from RJ, who brought in a
okay.
flash drive before the show today. And so I've already got episode 8's music lined up and ready to go.
Well, yay.
And they'll all be from RJ's picks. But
it's going to be the same song, right?
No, it's not going to be the same song. We'll start doing that, though. We'll find out what's being released that week or that
and
month, and I'll start grabbing
like
some
that.
Music from those games and that sort of thing.
Yeah, a little pre-planning.
Yeah, exactly. So, March, we've got our Xbox Games with Gold mm-hmm. announced for
okay.
the month of March.
What's it going to be?
Layers of Fear.
Oh.
That's going to be available all month long.
I heard it's kind
of
spooky.
And that's on Xbox One. With a name like Layers of Fear, it
you
has to be
so.
Good.
I would hope so.
With a name like Schmuckers. Evolve Ultimate Edition will be available from March 16th to April 15th on Xbox One. I thought that thing was free.
Huh. Mm.
Free to play. Didn't that go free to play?
It did for a while.
Huh.
Yeah, right.
Let's see.
I wonder how many people were still
playing
that, really.
I don't know. Once it's available to everybody, I don't know. It's free to play, so I don't understand why. I thought it was free to play. I have no idea.
As far as I know, something may have changed, but yeah. As far as
Borderlands 2 will be available from March 1st to the 15th.
Oh, that's a fun game.
On Xbox 360 and Xbox One, and then Heavy Weapon will be available from March 16th to March 31st on Xbox 360 and Xbox One.
Any word on the PlayStation Plus games?
I have not seen anything for those. We usually don't get those
until
much closer to then, or even around the 1st of the month is when we'll get those. Mm-hmm. And now I can't get the website to close. That's fantastic. Thank you, IGN. I appreciate all the crap you try to load on your page.
Evolve is free to play only on PC, is what Lethal Migraine says.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and okay, well,
hmm.
That's odd. This whole okay. Thank you, IGN. You've screwed up my entire system now.
Yay!
Because the chat room hasn't even refreshed. Oh, dear Lord. Stupid IGN. Let's let a video play right when you open our page. No, nobody wants that.
Yes.
Nobody wants that.
In the history of ever.
Well, that'll teach me to use your link.
Yep.
Next time this happens. In fact, I might just get rid of you altogether. Anyway.
Might be a good idea.
I can't tell you what's coming up. I don't know. I can't even tell you what other stories I had put in there because this page won't close.
Well, at least it's doing
horrible.
Now at the end instead of like at the beginning.
Yeah, it's that's really bad. Hmm. Yeah. I don't know. What else? What do we got here? Horizon Zero Dawn's next week.
Yeah,
Zelda is
Zelda.
At the end of the week. March 3rd's a what, Friday? Yeah, March 3rd's
I
a
think.
Friday.
Yeah.
And they're going to do midnight releases for this, so March 2nd and stuff is when people will be. That's when you need to get your stores, man. I mean, I know GameStops are going to have a few extra for people to walk in and try and buy.
And keep the amount of extras
to
a minimum.
But Walmart's going to have them.
Yeah.
Best
yeah.
Buy's going to have them. Target's going to have them. Toys R Us is going to have them. So,
yeah. GameStop hasn't been like that lately,
huh?
To my knowledge.
What?
They don't usually get extras of anything, especially games anyway.
Who?
They just GameStop in terms
usually
of
just get what the pre-reserves.
They just get what the pre-orders are and nothing else. That's what they've been doing lately.
I haven't been to a GameStop or I haven't bought anything from a GameStop in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just no need to.
Yeah.
When I could just go to like the Steam page and from the comfort of my own house.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to worry about them like harassing me for like subscriptions or anything else like that. Ugh. I love not interacting with people.
I feel
that
you
page,
there.
That page gone yet?
No, it's nope. not. It's okay. Still doing this stupid thing.
Okay, well, IGN has made a permanent impression on you.
Oh, right have now. They ever?
Well,
I mean,
this isn't the first time I'm sure IGN's made an impression on them.
Not just that. Just the fact, it's also this really, really old Mac that I'm using.
Yeah.
That can also give me issues from time to time. Luckily, I have the app on my phone, and I can just go there, and there we go. Look at there. Just open that up, and I'll have it. Oh, look at there. Now, there it all is. Let's see. Nintendo account ID, then the thieves that got Joy-Con issue.
Did you hear about the...
Oh, man, the DICE Awards. I was going to talk about that. Because the DICE Awards were announced.
I would say, real quick, a thing that happened yesterday that I was reading about, Cloud Bleed virus.
Yeah, change your really passwords, bad. Folks.
Change passwords.
Get those passwords changed.
For about like a couple of months, it was just unsecure where people could, like, you know...
Leaking info
without them noticing it, so...
I'm going to use those DICE Awards for next week. Oh, well, there we go. Everything's back.
Finally?
Yeah, everything's back now.
The video got done playing.
Yeah, look at that. And then, like, the chat room over here was like, you know, started going through. Nice. Now we can look at that, and I can hit some of the highlights of these DICE Award winners, unless, of course, it opens up... That's not IGN, but it's GameStop, so I'm still skeptical that it's not going to be all kinds of screwed up when I try to open this thing.
It will be.
More than likely, you're exactly right, and we've only got about 4 more minutes left of the show. So might be a little tough to do. I just kind of want to get an idea of some of the big winners there. I'm not going to run down every single category for who won those. And I may not run down any category if the damn page doesn't load. Mm.
Save it for next week.
I probably will. I think I actually will do that because you're just going to take way too long to get done. So
thanks, IGN.
So, all right, you're skipping the Switch for now.
You know, unless some stupid bug bites me and I'm like, oh, man. You know, I walk into a store and like, oh, they got Switch consoles.
Yeah.
Of course, if they have a bunch of them, it doesn't feel like I'm getting anything, you know?
Yeah.
If they have a bunch and they're just sitting
there's out, just one left, Scott.
But if there's like, yeah, we just got one left, somebody didn't pick up their pre-order, so it's sitting in the back, you want it?
Oh, man.
Like,
yeah.
I'll be curious to see what the eBay market looks like for these things.
I was going to say, if you are going to pass on the Switch for now, are you thinking about getting Zelda for the Wii U right away?
I got to get a Wii U.
Oh, I thought, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I thought that you had one.
No. Got to get a Wii U first.
Do that instead of...
Honestly, well, I've said that.
Yeah.
And I may look for used Wii U's to see what they're... I may wait and see how their price, you know, moves around.
Because you could get Wind Waker on the Wii U.
I know. I get Wind Waker on the Wii U. I get Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get... what's the other games that I really wanted? Mario Kart 8 on the Wii U.
if you want to test friendships, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's a ton there on the Wii U that I can pick up that have been already out, probably at a very low price now, especially used.
Yep.
So, you know, why not? If that's something I really want to do. Yeah. So, as a caller now, but we just don't have time. I want to thank everybody for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We do appreciate it. Head on over to InGameChat.net. Join us on Twitter and Facebook. You might want to do that. Just saying.
Hint.
Yeah, also our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and our Twitch channel that you're watching right now. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, join our community there. And if you're on Xbox One, I just added 2 more people to our little group on Xbox One.
Yay!
The invites were pending there, so I got those in there as well.
3 people now?
Yeah, we got, well, 4 if you count me. So you can join up there with us and play games with us and other listeners as well. Want to thank everybody for joining us. Have a great week, and we'll see you next Saturday. Here is music, again, released this month, Halo Wars 2. This is Symbiotic. We'll see you next Saturday.